Well, here we are now, 2 hours of open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Who knows what's going to happen? By the way, here I am in the cave in St. Louis. Got on a plane really early at LAX right after the show last night. And here I am. So we're coming in for a landing. You know, Southwest, I fly Southwest a lot. I like them. They're very good. But we're coming in for a landing, and the pilot ditches the landing. He has to go around again. Something was wrong. He was coming in at a steep angle. He wasn't happy with it. He pulled back and did it all over again. That's a little jarring, I'll tell you. But so I get home, and my daughter watches the house, and, you know, we've got all the security and all that stuff. But she takes care of my mail and things like that. So there were a bunch of packages in the house, and one of them was addressed to the people who used to own this place years ago. I don't know where they are. I have no idea. Years ago, I'm going to say, well, what am I going to do with this? I can't throw it away. Just send it back, but there's no return address. What do I do? What is it? I open it up. It's a box of Depends. Now, you know what they are. And so I throw them away. What else are you going to do with it? Anyway, we've got a couple hours of open lines for you, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. By the way, this is the kind of staff I have. Producer Tom Danheiser, board op Nathan Staten. I'm giving you their full names. Do you know what they've recommended that I do with those Depends, which I've thrown out, that I got in the mail that weren't for me? Store them for a few more years. Now, that's the kind of staff I have. They're always thinking ahead for me, aren't they? Unbelievable. Let's go to Janet, Ogden, Utah, first-time caller. Get us started, Janet. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you.
What am I going to do with these Depends?
Give them to your mom.
She doesn't need them. She's okay.
Oh, that's too funny. Take them to a nursing home.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
It isn't a bad idea.
But you know what? Put them on the porch and run.
But, you know, if you take them to a nursing home, there's always people there that could use them. Maybe that don't even have a decent insurance that would pay for them. You know?
Well, you know what? That's a good point. I'm going to have to fish them out of the garbage. They're still in the package. They're brand new.
Yeah. Anyway.
Probably the only talk show host in the country that is talking about Depends.
I know.
Unbelievable. I'll end up being their spokesperson.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's going on with you?
Well, I was listening to your last show. Well, I listen every night, as a matter of fact. But I had a story that I thought tied in with what you were talking about on two sides.
Okay.
First of all, on a spiritual side, and then on a forgiveness side.
Okay.
I'll start with the spiritual. I adopted this very sweet little boy, two children, actually.
Good for you.
A five-year-old, well, they were 6 months old and 18 months old when I got them. And when my little boy was five, his name was Sean, and when my little boy was five, he came in to me while I was cooking dinner, and he said, "Mommy, I don't want to live anymore."
At and, 5 you know, years old, he said?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And my blood just about went cold, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I said, "Shawnee, what do you mean?" And he was a very tender-hearted child, and I thought maybe somebody had hurt his feelings, you know? And I said, "What do you mean, honey?" And he says, "I don't want to live anymore. I want to go home." And I said, and for a split second, I thought he meant to his natural mother. I thought, wait a minute, you don't even like her. Why would he want to go home, you know? And I knew what he meant. And it made tears come to my eyes. And I said, "Oh, Shawnee," I said, "why do you think you want to go home?" And he said, "Mama, I love Jesus so much. And I miss him so much. I have to go home." And I said, "Oh, Shawnee, do you know what it would do to your mama if you went home?" And he said, "No, Mama, what?" I said, "I would start crying the day that you left. And I couldn't stop crying till I had you in my arms again." And he said, "Oh, Mama, I'm so sorry because I have to go." And so the very next day, and I hugged him and kissed him.
Don't tell me.
And the very next day, he woke up and he goes, "Guess what, Mom?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "I know how to travel through time and space." And I said, "What?" And I thought, how does this child know about traveling through time and space?
He obviously was a Coast to Coast listener, Janet.
Yeah, right. So he explained to me that you just think where you want to go and you get there. And I went, "Oh." And I said, "Like what do you mean?" And he said, "Oh, you know, if you want to go to London or to Costa Rica or to Texas." And I thought, okay, I can understand Costa Rica because his older sister was on a study abroad in Costa Rica. And
sure,
I understood Texas because his older brother lived in Texas. But London, where did that come from? You know, how did he ever hear of London? You know, so I started thinking about that. And he talked to my sister about it, and we were at a family dinner a couple days after then. He said, "Well, do you want me to show you how I can travel through time and space?" And we said, "Sure." So he said, "Everybody's going to have to be really quiet and bow your heads." And so we all did, and then the 6-year-old started just cackling, you know. And he opened his eyes and says, "You can't do that." He says, "That breaks my concentration and I can't go." And so I calmed her down.
You were starting to take this seriously, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah.
I was, because he was so serious and, you know, I was just like, okay. And so I told her that, you know, and I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll concentrate with you just so that, because when two concentrate, that's better." But I really was just trying to, you know, placate him, you know. And lo and behold, he said that he wanted to concentrate on his sister in Costa Rica. Lo and behold, as soon as I closed my eyes, I saw her climbing with a bunch of people up this mountain. And she looked like she was talking to somebody beside her, but there wasn't anybody. But everybody else they were going 2x2, and she was going around this huge boulder.
You're visualizing this, right?
Yeah, I was seeing everything. And so he said, "Okay, I've seen her." And I said, "Okay, tell me what you saw." He told me what he'd seen, and it was exactly what I'd seen.
Same thing, same thing.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly.
He projected it right into you.
That's what I thought. 2 days later, I get a call from his sister, and I told her about what he had done. She said, "Well, Mom, that's what I was doing on Sunday."
Whoa.
And I mean, we even saw the color of clothes she was wearing and everything.
That is amazing.
It wasn't the sort of thing. It was exactly.
Now, I trust he's still around?
He's not.
No. What happened?
He died 2 weeks after he said he was going to go home.
2 weeks after?
2 weeks after he was hit by a car.
At 5 years old?
At 5.
Oh, my God, Jen.
Yeah. But every single day from the day he said that he was going home until he did go home, he had something new. One day I walked into the living room, and he was in the lotus position, a perfect lotus position. And I said, "Sean, where did you learn that?" That's when he told me that the angels taught him at night.
He was getting prepared.
He was getting prepared. He told me the angels taught him at night. And I was so shocked because I'm Christian. You know, I'm a Mormon. I mean, I sure wouldn't expect the lotus position coming.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess it's comfortable.
Well, I guess. But, you know, you think your religion is the only one.
So now I know where you're leading into the forgiveness part.
Okay. So then, his brother, who was babysitting, I had told these little kids to stay in that night, and I just had a feeling that I didn't want him, and besides, because of what he had said, you know, I didn't want him to be outside. And so I said, I will be forever grateful if you stay in. I will be eternally grateful if you stay in. Well, the kids were making a lot of noise. He has a seizure disorder. It gave him a splitting headache, so we sent him out to the backyard. Oh. They snuck around through the front yard and were bouncing this basketball. They didn't want the bath in the backyard because they were hitting the deck.
It made too much noise.
Well, they were hitting the deck. It didn't give them enough room. So they went around in the front yard to play with the basketball, and it kept rolling towards the house because we have a circular driveway that's tilted towards the house.
Yeah.
So they went out on the sidewalk by the street. And the six-year-old had seen bigger kids bounce the balls on this high-domed road. And she tried it, and the ball rolled across the street. And so she said, let's go get the ball. And
Yeah. And
he said, we're not supposed to go in the yard. We're not supposed to go out of the yard. We're supposed to get a big person. Oh, we can do this. Well,
You okay with this?
Yeah, I'm making it. Then so he said, okay, and they went across, and she told him to grab the ball, and then she darted across the road, but he hesitated and he was afraid to come back, and she said, come on, honey, it's okay. Come on, Shawnee, it's okay. And he ran, right in front of a car. Well, as kids often do, she had only looked one way. And so she has never forgiven herself. This has been 13 years. He would be 18, and she's 19.
And the driver, what about the driver?
Well, he was 16. He had only been driving for 2 months.
Not drinking?
Not drinking, to our knowledge. And he started having severe problems over this, you know.
Well, it was a horrible accident.
It was a horrible accident.
I mean, I don't put them in the category of not forgiving. To me, Janet, they're not murderers. I mean, this was a sad accident.
This was a sad accident. And yet, I have to tell you, I kept hearing from friends of mine who knew his parents how badly he was taking it. And so I sought him out. I didn't even know what he looked like. And I sought him out when she was with me one day in a grocery store, and I found him in the parking lot. And I told him that it was Sean's time to go, that he had expressed a desire to go, and if he hadn't helped him go, somebody else,
was going to happen. He knew it.
It was going to happen one way or the other.
Yeah.
And he was just the instrument of Sean leaving. And I did not hold it against him. I did not hold it against him.
Did you ever stay close with him, or did he
no,
just go off in his...
I actually haven't stayed close with him. I just hope that he's okay, you know.
Well,
because, you know, our family, none of our family holds it against him.
Thank you,
Jim.
You took guts telling us that story.
Well, I wanted you to know that, you know, because even though there are worse things that could happen, I mean, he died, but it was actually, you know,
I
think there's a lot of deaths, even ones that seem like they're horrible, I hope my phone doesn't die. Even when they're horrible deaths, you know, and it seems like they shouldn't have happened, I think they are part of the plan.
How old was he when you adopted him?
The adoption went through when he was about 2.
So you had 3 great years with him.
I got him when he was 6 months, and so I had actually 5 great years with him, because he was 5 and a half when he died.
Good for you. So, all right, Jenna, thank you.
He was an incredible child.
He's up there now. You know
that. Yes, he is. And you know what? Several people have seen him and talked to him. They've told me about it.
That's amazing.
Are you there?
Yeah.
They've talked to him. And he's had a huge impact on a lot of people.
He sure has. Janet, thank you. Thank you for the story. Thanks for sharing it with all of us. It's not easy to do that. Not at all. Let's go to Robert, Oklahoma City. Robert, please take it away.
Hi. Well, first off, I'd like to say that song that was played at the bottom of the last hour was really good. Sounded like Natchi Sinatra or something like that.
That was some Velvet Morning with Lee Hazelwood and Nancy Sinatra. You're absolutely right.
Okay. And anyway, that's kind of a tough follow-up to that story. it's kind of sad to hear that.
Tell me about it. Oh, my God.
Well, I had an experience coming up on 6 years ago where I personally had a out-of-body experience where I went to a kind of a heavenly place.
And was it a great trip?
Well, it was actually the most beautiful thing I think I've ever seen. It was incredible.
Was it an after-death experience for you, Robert, or just truly an OBE?
Well, it was, I was in a heavenly realm. I had was in the hospital when it happened, and I left for a short time, and I went to this place, and I was looking around, and I saw this light in front of me, and it was communicating with me, and beyond it, there was like this beautiful mountain, and it was like it was telecommunicating with me.
I mean, was it an after-death thing for you? Were you dying?
Yeah, I was dead for a short time.
Oh, my.
And then I came back to life. But, it was incredible because I looked down at my body when I was in front of this light, and my body was just like total light. It was incredible.
Oh, that happens. I mean, in a lot of people, as you just said, you just feel like you just don't want to come back. You just want to hang there and stay. Absolutely. Look, we'll be back. We've got more open lines for you tonight on Coast to Coast AM. So don't touch your dial. And if you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. We'll be right back. And what would Friday night be without our traditional thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM? Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, hello to you and thank you. Coast Insiders, you can be an insider for less than 25 cents a day. Thank you. XM Talk, 168. And then the various chat rooms and groups all over the place, including, of course, the Fantastic Forum 2, folks. That's with the number 2. Imaginative Worlds Into Infinity, our dear friends over there. The National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC. How about the Facebook followers, the Twitter groups, MySpace, yep, still a few of them, Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, our dear friends, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. And hey, Greg, I'm back. Back with open lines. Let's go way east, Miami, Florida. Deborah's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. Hi, George. How are you? Can you
hear
me? I'm
doing great. Yep, I sure can. What's going on, Deb?
Yeah, I was listening to the show earlier, and now my heart goes out to the lady, the caller before. But I can identify with Shawnee's wanting to go home because myself as a child, I had those same thoughts, but I'm still here. But my experience that I had was I had gone to bed during the night one night, and I found myself in a corridor. A hallway, and I was walking through, and there was like this thin veil between myself and this hall, and I put my hand on this film, this wall, and it was liquid, but my hand couldn't go all the way through. So as I looked through that window, or curtain, as some people would call it, I saw my grandmother sitting on a bench because she had passed away, and I had wanted to know how she was doing because I had missed her so much. She was a big part of my life. And she just smiled at me, and telepathically she spoke to me, and she told me she was fine. She looked like she was 30 years old. She was beautiful. And she was sitting on the bench, and the place where she was was so beautiful. The green, you had never seen the grass here. It's nothing compared to the green grass and blue skies there.
Well, let me tell you what. My grass is all brown and is scorched.
Well, down here in Miami, it's been raining. So mine is pretty green, but not as green as what I saw
absolutely
that night.
Thanks, Deb. That's a great story. Let's go next. Tom has got it flashed on my screen. He said, take this call at a sleazy hotel. I can only imagine what this is all about. Go ahead.
How dare you insinuate that I'm staying at a sleazy hotel?
Hey, that's what my producer told me. What can I say?
Of course. This is God's 10-star general, and there's a reason I'm here at the Skid Row Motel, and it's because I have joyful, jubilant news today.
It's because you're cheap. You're cheap. That's why you're at a sleazy hotel.
No. Mr. Norrie, do you know that today, Clamp and God's 10-star general have apprehended the number one most wanted, Edna P. Pringle, has been returned to the fort. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise my name.
You got her back? You got her back from the biker group?
We conducted a sting operation where she came to buy some rock and roll music and some reefer, and we had tracked her down through the guidance of God and the internet, of course, and we found out where she was, and we have apprehended her. She is being decommissioned now, reprogrammed, and this is a beautiful occasion, Mr. Norrie. Do you know why?
Why?
It's going to allow me to focus my energies on protesting against the pornification of America.
Are you still in love with her, JC?
How dare you, sir, insinuate that I am in love. Love leads to lust.
You chased that woman for years. I remember the day you called me on this very show, crying on the air that she had been taken. You were crying.
I was full of joy.
She was taken away by a biker as she waved to you as he took her off into the sunset. I remember that night.
$10,000 she stole from me and the Lord.
Well, that's true.
Don't forget the money, Mr. Norrie. That's a very important part of it, is she took off with that money, but we got her back. And now she's going to be reprogrammed and be a diligent servant of the Lord, because do you understand how much is happening to America, all the punishments that the world is taking right now with hurricanes and earthquakes and fires and floods?
I agree, JC. We're going through a lot right now.
You think this is a lot. Everybody thinks this is a lot. I see them wringing their hands. Oh, my goodness, we got an earthquake on the East Coast. What are we ever going to do, you New York people, you sinners? I'll tell you what's going to happen. This is just the warm-up.
Not everybody in New York is a sinner, JC. You think everybody's a sinner?
Apocalypse.
The apocalypse? Are you ready? Do you think October 21st is the end of it?
Oh, don't get me started on Harold Camping. Mr. Camping, who used to be very close to the Lord, who is not very close to the Lord anymore, who took all the secrets of the revelations and is spreading them out. Me and the Lord had to get together and change it all around. Don't get me started about that. The 21st is not the rapture. Harold Camping is not the one to call it. I get to call it. I called it first when God created the world, and I'm God's right-hand general.
I agree with you on one thing, JC. It's not going to end on October 21st. I agree with that.
That's correct. It's not going to be so quick. Everybody thinks it's going to be a quick little rapture and up, boom, to the heavens you go. No, it's called a tribulation. There's seven vials with seven serpents ready to pour them out upon the earth, and each one of them is a forked tongue of deception that's being put forth by betrayers like Glenn Beck, who's turned his back on America now.
Oh, Glenn is an old friend of mine.
Never quit.
He's harmless.
I'm completely disappointed in you for turning your back on America and Fox News when we need you the most. You're running and hiding like a coward, like an Al-Qaeda officer.
He's not on Fox News anymore.
I know, because
he's gone. But let me tell you, so what are you doing with Edna? Is she like in some some cell? Where is she?
She is being prayed over at this moment. She is bound with the special straitjacket because the devil's in her. She keeps reciting words of rock and roll music, and it's just terrible what's been done to her. Her mind is corrupt.
Has she changed her clothes?
Changed her clothes? Oh, yes, we took away the hussy clothes. She, you know what? Do you know what a miniskirt looks like on an 85-year-old woman?
I didn't know she was. I didn't know she was 85. 85? How old are you? How old are you?
Came up over the knees.
JC, how old are you?
My age. I am eternal. I am God's 10-star general.
Why were you dating? God love them, but why were you dating an 85-year-old woman?
I don't see where you get this idea that I was dating it. I never said anything about fornicating and making the beast with two backs.
Oh, you know what? I've got a few moments here. I want to do something different with you tonight, JC. You've never done this with me. I want you to take some of these calls with me.
I would love to minister to some of these sick, wayward followers you have.
Well, we'll find out. And I'll leave this up to them if they want to talk with you. All right? Is that fair enough? All right, let's start with Jim in Riverside, California. Jim, would you like to talk to JC at all?
Well, I guess not. I guess so.
All right, take it away.
So. You are not eternal. God is eternal.
Oh, boy. Sounds like a pencil neck geek to me. You guess so? You have to say, yes, sir.
I guess so.
Talk to God's 10-star general. I want you to tell me what I need to do in my life to clean up. What do you need to do to clean up your life?
It's about my sister passing away, and then now I got to talk to you. But you are not
allowed.
Is it
pray
true?
For her?
I'll tell you what we're going to do, Jimmy. I'm going to keep you on hold.
And you recriminate me and tell me I'm a bad person. How dare you?
We'll put Jim on hold, and we'll come back to Jimmy.
We have to say a moment of silence, and now we can go on to the next caller.
We'll go to the next. Do you have to be so rough on these people, JC?
I'm not being rough. I'm just being truthful. God's wrath is not a kind and loving lamb. That we've done that before. This time around, it's the warrior.
Well, show some compassion. The poor guy was calling about his dead sister.
How do I know that's true?
Oh.
He could have made that up just to make me look like a jerk.
You're so cold. Let's go to Spokane, Washington. Bill, welcome to the program. Go ahead, Bill.
I do not want to talk to JC.
Okay, we'll put
then
you.
Why did you call, sir?
We'll put you on hold too, and call back. As a matter of fact, I accidentally hit the wrong button and discontinued. See what you're doing to me, JC? You're getting everybody all discombobulated.
That's
Charlie.
When the Lord's mojo comes over the devil and disrupts your evil spells.
Charlie in Kingman, Arizona. You got a chance here. Do you want to talk to JC at all, Charlie?
Well, the main thing is I want to get this story out. That's the whole thing.
Well, all right. I think you're going to listen to a story, JC, aren't you?
I'll definitely listen to it, and I'll give my judgment.
All right. Charlie, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, about a year ago, my mom was in the hospital, and she, they pronounced her that she was okay. She was going to be discharged. But the nursing home wouldn't take her back, so she wound up lingering at the hospital for about a day and a half, and then she passed away. Okay, we weren't suspicious on that, not at first, because, you know, she was elderly. And anyway, she went to a funeral home, and no doctor would sign the death certificate. So I asked them, I said, well, what do you think it means? So what they were saying is that they felt it was foul play. So I started my own investigation. Me and a buddy of mine, and we talked to a couple of nurses, one of which was a hospice nurse, and they informed, two nurses informed us that the seniors of this day and age are a target. The government doesn't want to spend money on them anymore.
And you hit the nail directly on the head, sir. Thank you for that.
Hey, shut up. Let me get this story out. You just listen first. Have a little respect. Now, shut up.
He's a little short of that, I think,
sir,
Charlie.
All right.
Thank
so
you for that.
He's right, JC. Be quiet. Let him talk.
There's going to be a whole lot more losses if we don't get in the way of this healthcare business.
JC, let him finish his story.
All right.
You?
So anyway,
go ahead. Jim.
So we started the investigation, and we went beyond the nurses. We started. We went back to We went back to the funeral home, and we asked them for more information, and they gave us a clue about going after the county coroner, which is in Mojave County. They made a lot of statements about her, which was not true. We got documentation from her showing that the mortuaries are actually making money by selling bodies unbeknown to the people.
You know what? I believe
that,
Charlie.
I have this in writing.
I believe that. They are making all kinds of money all over the place. Let's take another call. We've got Jake east of the Rockies. Jake, do you want to talk to JC? Louisville.
Sure.
All righty, my friend. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Hey, Jake, how's it going? Or JC, hey. Good evening, sir. It's going. Are you going to attempt to give me another sob story and make me look like the big old bad heel when I want to talk about saving America?
Oh, no, no. I just thought I'd ask you if you believed in ghosts. Have you ever had any haunting experiences or anything, JC?
I have encountered several paranormal entities. Yes, there are spirits that roam the earth with malevolence in their heart, which are going to attempt to possess and control people. And this is what I'm talking about. Undertakers who are not strong in the Lord, they come under the way of the devil, and they begin to try to sell, you know, they took the gold right out of your teeth, and they'll sell it right from out.
Well, some will. Some will, Jason.
Not all ghosts are malevolent now.
True.
Yes, they are. If they're not malevolent, then why aren't they in heaven? The only reason you can tell a malevolent spirit is if they're not in heaven. They obviously couldn't make the grade to go to heaven.
Well, okay. Interesting. Well, let's take one more call for you, JC. First-time caller,
right.
Cade is in Texas, and you're on the air. Cade, do you want to talk to JC at all?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't really
kind of. He's got a strange attitude, Cade. But don't worry, I'm on your side.
No, I have a righteous attitude. I'm just so self-righteous because I earned it. Because God told me, he said, JC, you're better than everybody else.
Let me ask you something, okay. JC, before we get to Cade. Did you hold on for a second, Cade? Hold on for 1 second. Did you ever pull the legs off spiders when you were a kid? Ever?
No, I would never touch such a filthy thing, a filthy, deviant creature of the devil. No, I never did those kinds of things.
All right. Go ahead, Cade. We got you. Go ahead.
Okay. I am an open atheist, okay? I do not believe in a heaven or hell or a God.
Oh, God. Like sir. You don't believe in a heaven and hell. I rebuke you. I bind you. You are a devil worshiper. That is the standard line of every Satanist out there that starts off with, I don't believe in God. There is no God. That's the devil's biggest trick, is to fool you into thinking there is no devil.
I'm going to let you go back to your sleazy hotel, JC. You and Edna have a great time tonight.
How dare you, sir?
Oh, man, he cracks me up. Let's go to Copper's Cove, Texas. William, it's you and me this time. Go ahead. Good to have you with us.
Good to talk to you, George.
You too.
I was just going to call in about my near-death experience I had when I was a teenager.
Okay, what happened?
I grew up with an abusive father my entire life, and after 17 years of it, I just decided I couldn't take it anymore, and I tried to commit suicide, and I took some prescription antidepressants, and it landed me in a coma for a week. And the weirdest thing happened. I remember taking the pills, and it just seemed like time kind of stopped. And then out of nowhere, and this probably was a couple days when I was in the coma, I just remember being in my grandmother's garden, and she was a big influence on me. And she lived in Florida, and I just remember it was very bright, but very dusty at the same time. And it was almost like I couldn't see 10 feet or so out. It just was kind of a blur. But she was sitting there on a bench. She had a bench back there. And she was just talking to me. And I can't remember what she said, but I just kept getting this very peaceful, calm feeling. And it seemed like we were there forever. And when I got out of the coma, when I finally woke up, my mother, she was by my side the whole time. She told me about 3 or 4 days in there, I kept mentioning my grandmother's name, and she would try to talk to me, but I was just not responsive. And I just thought that was the weirdest thing.
That's a great story. you saw that. You felt it. You were there. And she visits. I mean, they do that. Woodinville, Washington. David, it's your turn, west of the Rockies. Hey, David, good morning.
Good morning, George. It's an honor and a privilege to talk to you. Thank you for not allowing me to talk to JC.
We got rid of him. Enough was him. I had enough of him.
You know, George, a lot of wild things happened here in Washington. Woodinville is just outside of Seattle. I used to live in Issaquah, Washington, where some strange things happened. I managed a country club out there. And one evening, had an issue down at my at a little part of the country club that was a separate building, a little 4,000 square foot facility. And one of my managers was down there, and they were having a scrapbooking event with some of the members, a private club.
Now, what's a scrapbooking event? What is that?
Well, the different you know, women would come together and put pictures in photo albums and put together, you know, really nice presentation albums with memory books, so to speak.
Okay.
So I went down there because I knew my manager had a rough day, and as I was going around with my wife, meeting some of the members because I was new to the club, and going around this half a gym size area, as I say hello and I'm walking out the door, the manager comes back and says, David, come back here. I wanted to show you something. Something's dripping from the ceiling. Peculiar, I say to myself, but I go back in knowing that there had been a lot of HVAC issues with that, heating and air conditioning issues with the building. So I go around and I look around, and she's like, look what's dripping. It's a green ink or something. And I look, and it's certainly green ink, George, no question about it. It is green paint or green ink, almost maybe from a Sharpie pen. And it's exactly where I had walked around this room. Now, what I failed to mention to you is that right when I took this job, I had heard dozens of stories of supernatural type of events that would happen at the club, from lights being turned on and TVs and doors being opened and weird noises and all the rest. So anyhow, I checked with all the ladies. Is anybody using green ink? No, no one's even used green ink. George, some of this ink had actually fallen on the memory books themselves. So it was almost as if somebody had gone around and was right behind me playing with everybody. And I had heard later that there was a little boy who had died on property from a construction accident years before.
Why green ink, though?
I have no idea. It was, you know, George, there was, you know, as ink will fall, or anything spills, right? It can splatter in different ways as if it falls or it is tossed,
yeah.
Correct?
Well, it could be their way, David, to get a message across too. You never know. Hey, we're at the clock. We'll be back with more.